This morning we are going to be in the book of 1 John again. If you have a Bible and you want to turn to 1 John 3, I'm going to be reading from verses 11 to 24. If you do not have a Bible and if you don't own a Bible and you would like one, we have one for you. All you got to do is just kind of give a little bit of a wave and Micah back there will bring one to you. So one of the things that we've been doing the last few weeks to remember that this Word of God is a gift is actually physically getting up while we read and even extending our hands, holding out your hands so that to remind you even as you hear the Word of God that everything that you have been given has been received. And glory be to God for that. So in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you just to hold out your hands as we read the Word of God together. As I begin, I'm going to say, hear the Word of the Lord. This is the Word of God, y'all. And when I finish, I'm going to say, this is the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to invite you just wherever you're at, here or wherever, just to thank God. We say, thanks be to God here, but just you can say, thank you, Lord. You can say, thank you in whatever way, but this gift is like no other. Amen? All right. So if you are able, please stand up. Even if you're a little uncomfortable with it, hold out your hands. Hear the word of the Lord. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. God, right now we ask that you would open our eyes and open our ears to your word. We ask that this gospel message that John has laid out for us would touch our hearts and would lead us to repentance and healing and faith and a greater measure of Christ's love. Lord, I thank you that you have given us this opportunity to worship you. We praise you and we thank you for what you're about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will not be your brother's keeper, you will become your brother's killer. Those are the words of a pastor friend of mine when he was preaching on Genesis 4. If you will not be your brother's keeper, you will become your brother's killer. John in here, he uses the example of Cain, and then the pattern of love that Jesus laid down for us, and 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 taken all together, he tells us that indifference toward our brothers and our sisters, by the way, it says brothers here, it means brothers and sisters. Indifference towards our brothers and sisters is hatred of our brothers and sisters. And hatred of our brothers and sisters is murder. Serious, serious words. You know what? The thing is, though, that this message bleeds through the entire history of the church. Like, the whole church history and tradition echoes this. Even in our Reformed church traditions, in the Heidelberg Catechism, which was written in like the 1500s, when it's talking about the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments, do not murder, it talks about how that obviously you're not supposed to murder someone in actual fact, and how hatred equals murder, and it actually points at this text. But then in question and answer 107, it says this, and I want you to hear this today. Is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? No. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to them, to protect them from harm as much as we can. To protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. I'm emphasizing that because I want you to know that this isn't just our cultural moment. This is life in Christ. This is what God's command is all about. Hatred, John says, takes life. It takes it away. Love lays its own life down. And until we learn to run to Jesus with everything, our hearts will condemn us. But that's where John says, but God is greater. God is greater. And by his power, through the name of Jesus, he is able to give us the love that he commands for our brothers and sisters, free of all self-justifications, free of all pretending. So today we're going to do something a little bit different than what we normally do. I usually sit up here and preach. Today we have a couple of brothers, men that I am honored to call brothers and fellow ministers of the gospel. Reggie and Cameron, you guys, if you guys want to come up here as I'm introducing you, I'll let them introduce themselves a little bit here in just a minute. But what we're going to do today is we're going to reflect on John's message, and we are going to apply God's word. And so God's word today calls us to love by listening to hurts and to experiences that you might not have had, and how you might really love your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Today we're talking about the gospel and racism. Uncomfortable, yeah. I think probably Reggie will get into that. how it's good to be uncomfortable in Christ. But if we aren't going to talk about these things here, then we're just beholden to the world. And so we're going to talk about them here. So if you'll join me, please welcome Reggie and Cameron. Hey guys, why don't you guys just introduce yourselves and say how it is you're serving the kingdom here in the city, how long you've been in the city, you know, what's a little background.
Is my mic on?
Do you need a spotter there, Reggie?
You know what?
Come here, man.
I don't know if I'm,
you're not.
I'm not the smartest of guys. Thank God.
I just hold that button down until the light turns on. It's hilarious when somebody in their 20s needs help. with tech stuff from someone in their 40s.
I think we are.
Well, I think that's why you and I became friends. I realize I need a lot of help, and a good place to get it. But Reggie Blackman, so I'm the City Life Director with Youth for Christ. So you guys heard Nigel speak right before COVID hit, and like Mike said, he shut down the church. But so Nigel's basically my boss, but I've been with Youth for Christ for the last year and a half. I am originally from California, San Diego, California, but we moved here when I was in high school, my sophomore year of high school back in 2009. Went to Snyder High School, graduated from there, got a football scholarship up in Michigan, came back and have been serving the Lord, doing a lot of work with youth since then. I believe that that's the calling of my life in this season, is to be working with the youth. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's a blessing. Yeah.
Amen. Amen to that. Cam?
And I am Cameron Charlton. I am the youth pastor at New Horizon Church. Born and raised in Fort Wayne. Went to Southside High School, graduated in 2003. I currently am the after-school coordinator at City Life for Youth for Christ. So, Reggie is my boss, and then Nigel is Reggie's boss. So I'm kind of the youngest one of the team. I've been on the team for 6 months. I have been in the ministry for 5 years. I have been youth pastor for 2 years.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. So, you guys, we've been talking about this for a while, and talking about this passage in 1 John 3. And so as you've thought about it and thought about the rest of God's word, why is racism a gospel issue?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
So why is racism a gospel issue? I'll start off by saying this. My brother and I actually have these types of conversations often. He actually coaches here in town at St. Francis. But we were having this conversation a couple of days ago and talking about how oftentimes we confuse the word prejudice and racist as two of the same things when they aren't, right? And so racism is, I think, more deep of an issue rather than prejudice. But the reason why racism is a gospel issue is because of, just as the passage talks about and all throughout the Word of God, we see the word love, right? Mm-hmm. And what it means to love one another. We talk about what it means for we as believers to prefer our brothers and sisters in Christ over anybody else. And our brothers and sisters in Christ, obviously coming from different races, backgrounds, ethnicities, speaking different tongues, things like that. So I think that is a perfect depiction that we see painted throughout Scripture in terms of racism. So,
yeah, and I believe that racism, the reason why it's a gospel issue is because it causes division. Hmm. Any kingdom divided against itself will fall. Because you look a certain way, you don't want to worship with a certain people, or pray with a certain people. I just believe that it causes division. And in Ephesians, it talk about Christ actually died so that we all could be together.
Yeah.
So it's a division issue.
Yeah. And any division in the body of Christ is. Yeah, I mean it denies who Jesus is, right?
Yeah.
So John tells us that we can't be indifferent or turn a blind eye to our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And in any given city, it's easy to do that, right? So why is John's John's point there, that we can't be indifferent to our brothers and sisters, why is that important as we think about things like racism?
I believe it challenges our belief system. Yeah. What we actually believe, because we can't call ourselves followers of Christ if we don't love each other. Yeah. We can't call ourselves followers of Christ if we see someone in need and not want to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just believe that that we have to look at ourselves and actually see the problems, and if we can't help, then we should.
Yeah. And I think about the fact that love is an action, right? So love requires action, and what that means to take action. It's not just, I love what you said about in need, you know, seeing people in need, but oftentimes it's not about even people being in need. It's about coming to where they are, being in the midst of their situation. And we talked about empathy, the word empathy. One definition that I heard for the word empathy is hearing somebody else's experience and believing that it's true. And when you look at life from that lens, it'll change your whole perspective on what it means to actually empathize with somebody. And so if I tell you an experience, right, about my life that I've had, to believe that it's true, right? And love will allow you to do that. But if you don't have, if you're indifferent, right, if you don't necessarily care because maybe won't isn't on your front porch, then you lose that opportunity to be just as the gospel tells us to be, to love our brother, love our sister. You know what I mean? And so I think that that's a way to describe it. I mean, there's so much more that you can get into, but.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you guys, like, have anything in mind when I ask this, but, like, what sort of experiences, like, do you think that your brothers and sisters really need to hear this morning? This is a little bit off book, so. But just.
So there's a reality that me as a young black male at the age of 26, society is pushing this agenda of fear of being a young black male. And over the last several years, it's been a healing that God has had to do in me. But when you see somebody your age being that stereotyped demographic, having encounters with police officers used to be something that would, like, cause me to sweat. I'd sweat, anxiety, like a fear. It was a real fear that I would have because of what I was seeing, you know. And the reality of it is I've never actually had an encounter with a police officer that was like a negative encounter. Actually, I've been pulled over in the back roads of Ohio, and, you know, I was fearing, and I'm shaking. I'm like, oh God, what's gonna happen? Like, what do I do? And it ended up being like one of the jolliest, nicest, you know, guys that I've met, but which is interesting. But it is really amazing because the thought process that I go through is that, man, am I gonna be the next video? And that's the reality of the situation. It's not a fear of, man, whether am I going to get a ticket or not, right? So some people may get anxiety of police officers behind them. You can say, oh, I get anxiety, but my anxiety is not because of a ticket. My anxiety is because is it going to be me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just believe that it's part of past trauma that's been passed down generation by generation. The same way that my grandfather felt when a police officer got behind him is the same way that I feel. The same way, I hear different things about my complexion, about how I am, my son hears in school. And when we have that generational trauma passed down, it's hard to overlook. It's hard to overlook certain experiences because we would think as a country, as a people, that I shouldn't feel the same way my grandfather felt. Or my son shouldn't feel the same way that I feel or go through the same experiences that I had to go through.
Yeah. Just another question came up, but I'll ask the next one that we talked about first.
Good. Fire away, man. Fire
That's all right.
Away,
So Chip Clark, who used to be the director of City Life, now is, I don't know what his title is, worship director or grand poobah of worship at at Blackhawk Ministries. He has been engaging the public quite a bit over the last month or two on this particular issue and offering even to sit down and have coffee with anyone who disagrees or just wants to talk through through things. And it's been like one of the healthiest things I've seen on Facebook, which, Man, it's that's not a high bar, right? But but it's definitely been one of the healthiest things I've seen. And Chip has been talking to people. It sounds I hear him talking a lot about the phrase Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. And even saying like noticing like okay that's got some baggage to it. So he shifted the language even to value Black lives, right? Why is it important for your brothers and sisters in Christ to hear and receive those words and not just tense up and be defensive about it?
Yeah. So I like many people, I hear the term Black Lives Matter and that phrase, I believe. But the movement I may not be able to fully get behind, and so I love the wisdom of Chip in valuing Black lives. What does it mean to value Black lives? It's like being here today and empathizing with the experience that you just heard. Those things are important. To value Black lives or to hear that is important because, like you said before we sat down. If the church isn't leading the conversations, then the world is leading the conversations. And when the world leads the conversations, agendas are being pushed, right? And then Cam alluded to the division that is able to take place. Mm-hmm. The worst thing in the world is being able to walk into a place and you can feel division. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most uneasy feelings that you will ever get when you walk into a place and you can feel division, right? And so when we talk about what it means to the term value Black lives, the reason why it shouldn't make you uncomfortable is because you're the church. You're the body of Christ. So you're the leaders in all of this. And if mm-hmm. you're not the leaders in all of this, then as you said, what's the quote that you said earlier?
If you will not be your brother's keeper, you will become his killer.
You will become his killer. And I think that paints the perfect picture. Mm-hmm. You know, as the church, I am my brother's keeper, and I'm going to believe their experience to be true for them. And so what do I need to do? I actually went on Facebook Live the other day from Romans 12 and talking about how our call to action, is not going to look the same, right? Mm-hmm. And so Pastor Mike, he comes down and to the City Life Center, you know, once a week, and he's jumping in. You know, he's doing things that make him feel uncomfortable, diving into conversations and the games maybe, and doing things that may be out of his element because that's what God has called him to do, right? Our love being put into action looks different for the people in this room, right? My call to action is being the City Life Director. Your call to action, you may feel led to pray, but I think we even had this conversation. How do you put something in action that makes you feel uncomfortable? Because I don't think that God has called us to just be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that that's the reality of the situation. And so how do you pray? If you're called to pray, how do you pray from a place of being uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, just the term Black Lives Matter, it does a little something in my spirit. Just because as a Christian, yes, I do understand that all Black lives matter, but I understand that all lives matter, mm-hmm. and not just a matter of skin tone, but young kids matter, mm-hmm. because things happen to young kids also. So Black Lives Matter, yeah, it's a little touchy for me.
Okay.
But I do believe that it's important for the church and for us as followers to believe. To know the reason why Black people don't feel like their lives matter.
Yeah.
And it's because of a lot of people in our community feel that we get more time for crimes. So we feel like our lives don't matter.
Yeah.
Or we feel like that we're being displayed a certain way. So we feel like our lives are not being mattered, or not being valued as much. Mm-hmm. So I think as Christians and as believers, we just need to have an understanding of why people feel that their lives aren't being mattered,
yeah.
aren't being valued.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So, like, you walked into a church that isn't your church home this morning. And, you know, we got, like, COVID-19 protocols going on, and it's not as full as it usually is, right? And so, like, you came in and you sat down and everything, and that can be a really uncomfortable thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not for you guys, but, you know,
right.
I imagine for some people, right? But what does it mean to you? You know, you guys both talked about this idea of empathy, and when your brother or your sister actually talks about how they, like, other experiences and believing them, mm-hmm. what does it mean to you when your brothers and sisters do believe you? Like, what is that, like, what does that do for your spirit?
Man. That's one of the most encouraging things that you can do for anybody. But I think that it's important for us to understand the value of relationships. So believing me but not having a relationship with me only will last oh so long, right? So I can tell you my experience, but if I don't have a relationship with you and you're like, man, I really feel that, right? I want to do something about that. But if there's no relationship there,
yeah,
then the value of those words maybe will last me a week, right? We're going through, as a team, our urban ministry is going through that 360 leadership, what is the book called, by John Maxwell. And that's part of what he talks about is that, you know, hearing encouragement or being received by people who you don't know or don't know what you do, you may take that compliment or may take that empathy and then may last a week. So how mm-hmm. how do you dive into relationships with people once you empathize with them so that they can actually feel encouraged and it be a lifetime change, not just a situational change,
yeah.
right? That this valuing Black lives, it becomes a lifestyle change on your perspective on how you view life and being willing, you know, to dive into situations rather than it just being a this one time and done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So one of the ways, I mean, everybody, you know, you come in, you hear these things and people think like, what do I do with this? Like, one of them is like, really invest yourself in relationships.
Yeah.
With people who are not of the same ethnicity, and because those deep relationships are where the empathy really takes off.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It just gives you a sense of rest when you hear when you see the support.
Yeah.
Believing in your story. I have a very unique story, I would say. And it gives me confidence to believe in my story. It gives me confidence to be able to tell my story. Mm. It gives me confidence that my story is powerful.
Yeah.
So when I tell my story to someone that doesn't necessarily look like me and they believe it, it gives me power. It gives me rest in them. It allows me to see the Christ in them also. Mm.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So getting back to John here, you know, when we're talking about something like racism, mm-hmm. we just as people, we don't know what to do with problems that are like beyond our control. Mm-hmm. And we can't just tick these boxes and fix it, but we all have a part, right? So John says that when our heart condemns us, this is the way we have confidence before God, that He is greater than our heart. Mm. And all He says to do is believe in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son, and love one another.
Yeah.
Like, why is that good news for an issue as big as racism?
I believe it's good news because God gives us grace.
Yeah.
Through it all. Some things that I may still be struggling with, my heart is condemned about just my prayers and my belief in God, knowing that He's not going to condemn me for it. Yeah. He'll give me grace as I see my as he sees me through the issues that I have. So we can rest in that.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think that's, I mean, I don't really have much to add. Just that, the grace through the midst of it, right? And so it's like, it may not be a change that happens overnight, right? And you may still have, like I said, I think that most of the issue is a prejudice more than it is a racism at this point in time, my personal opinion. But even that prejudice, how do you work through some of the prejudice? And knowing that there's grace, that God is going to give you grace. If you mess up, if I mess up, you know, in the moment, that there's a grace to get through it, you know, and keep on believing, keep on praying and asking God in that uncomfortable space of, man, how do I look at my life and actually think, am I operating in this spirit, you know, in this division? Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is... not the end all and be all of every of the conversation, right? This is a start. And again, if we're not going to have these conversations in the church, like where are we going to have them? So I'm really really grateful that you guys came. I wanted to ask, what are some ways that we can stand with you and express our love in Christ to you as our brothers and to our brothers and sisters in this city?
Well, one way that you could, it will be, we are doing care packages at the City Life Center. Actually, that will be this Wednesday.
Yeah, we got a graphic up here if you want to pull that up. And you're not going to be able to read that real well. I can send that to you if you need it. If you're online, you probably see it just fine. But go ahead.
So we'll be having a drop-off at the City Life Center on Wednesday of just different needs for the kids. We've been doing it for the last 2 months, and we've been doing selective kids, but this month we will be doing all the kids that is involved in our City Life Center.
Okay.
So this will be the biggest of them all. So the drop-off will be Wednesday between 4 and 6. Just bring these items to the Fort Wayne, to the City Life Center.
Yeah, and I can bring them over too, because I'll be making – I'm guaranteed I'll be making a run. So that's on Wednesday, so if you get me whatever you get – by Wednesday, I can bring it over if you can't make it on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, and the reason why we did the care packages is initially, obviously, during when COVID first hit, there were some families whose, you know, single parent income and jobs lost, and there are some who, you know, things remain the same, but we wanted to be a blessing to the families that we impact, you know. So a lot of times, we just get to interact with the kids, and this gave us the opportunity to interact with parents, you know, with siblings, and be a blessing to the whole family. So that's a big why behind the care packages, that you actually get to be a blessing to a family, whether they be in need or whether it's just a token to say that we love you, we appreciate you, we see you, because being noticed is a real thing. Another opportunity is, so we have within our urban ministry, we have City Life, but another branch of that is our juvenile justice ministry. A guy named Joe Wright has been leading the charge there for about 13 years, somewhere around there. But during COVID, the kids who are in ACJC were not allowed to have visitors. And so on top of being, you know, incarcerated for whatever reason, they also aren't able to see their families. They're not able to, you know, talk to them. They're not able to be with them. And so Joe also has not been able to go in and minister the gospel to them. And he has some amazing stories about, you know, those things that happened. But what he decided that he could do is change the narrative, because these are young kids who still have an opportunity for their lives to change, their trajectory of their lives to change and shift. And that's what our belief is. But what he's been doing is he's been taking cookies into ACJC on Fridays. And so if you are a person who knows how to bake, I personally can't bake. I'd probably burn the cookies. But if you are better than me and you can bake cookies, that would be an awesome way for us to engage. He's been engaging some different churches who have baked cookies for him. But that's another opportunity that is.
Yeah, and well, how many would we need? We'd need at least 12 dozen, right? I mean,
12,000?
not 1,000, dozen.
Oh,
dozen.
Dozen. I thought you said 12,000. I was about to say, I'll take an order. But yeah, about 12 a few dozen. I believe that they have, so the numbers actually for our kids in ACJC have been really, they've been on the decline, okay. Which is awesome. And it's a testament to both Joe, but just what God is doing in our city. But yeah, so a few dozen cookies, if I mean, different families want to take a dozen, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, you can from scratch or go to Nestle, I mean, Kroger and get Nestle cookies. I mean, yeah. However, yeah.
No, you do them from scratch. You do it right.
From scratch.
You do it right.
Well, if you do them from scratch, then I would like some.
Yeah, yeah. So I got it up here. If you are interested in doing that this week, just shoot me an email so we can do some organization. We'll do a drop-off on Thursday. And I just wanted, I was thinking about this, these two opportunities. Of course, these are opportunities to benefit and show love to the recipient at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what they've been talking about. But I'm looking at these as ways that we can say, we love you, mm-hmm. you guys, yeah. fellow ministers of the gospel,
Amen.
Like in the gap and showing kids who may not hear it anywhere else that their life is really valuable,
yeah.
and they're in the image of God, and yeah. These are just two ways. We already mentioned, hey, make friends, guys, make friends. Harder to do in COVID protocol,
right.
but it's not impossible. It's a lot harder to not hug your friends than it is to.
Right.
Just do anything. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you for being ministers of the gospel and brothers in Christ. And I love you guys. And so let's give them thanks. Go ahead, guys.